Hello, I'm Caroline Barker and welcome to Down to the Wire. Over the next hour, we'll look back at Sunday, May the 13th, 2012, a date that proved to be the most exciting day in the history of the English Premier League. Before we kick off that Sunday, issues at both ends of the table were still to be decided. Would it be Bolton or QPR who would be relegated, and which of the Manchester clubs would win the league? Would United take their 20th title? They needed victory at Sunderland and hoped that Manchester City were unable to beat QPR at the Etihad. But if City won, they would be champions. What transpired is unlikely to be repeated for many years to come.
Do you know what I was doing 29 years ago? I took a wee team Aberdeen to beat Real Madrid in the European final. That's Queen's Park Rangers challenge to do in Aberdeen. On the face of it, you expect City to win. As long as human beings are human beings, you never know.
Chance for Rooney on his left foot. Shot hits a defender. Rebounds Ashley Young. Great finish from Ashley Young. Manchester United 2, Swansea 0.
For me, it's a fantastic experience. Another championship after Italy. There is only one thing that's important. The game. Sunday. Only this.
Clichy pulls it into the middle. Yaya Touré is there again and he scores his second. And this could be the key victory. The key victory for City on the way to the title.
Chance for Cissé! Gibril Cissé has scored a goal that might keep them up.
It's a massive game for us and we're playing arguably the form and the best team. Why can't we go and upset the form guy? It's a challenge for my players and myself.
The final whistle has gone and it has ended. Newcastle 0, Manchester City 2. It is a win for Manchester City that takes them to the brink of the title.
We'll bring you the story of that day through Sports World's coverage here on The World Service and three of our listeners, all Manchester City fans from all corners of the world, David from San Francisco in the United States, Rob in South Africa, and first, Eric in Australia, all of whom saw their team's season go down to the wire.
We have 5 seconds of normal time to go. Manchester City need to find two goals from somewhere here.
I was born in Mossside. I went to Claremont Road School next to Main Road. And then eventually we emigrated to Australia in 97. My wife wanted to come a while before that, but because of my tie-up with going to all the Main Road and what have you, because I had a season ticket and went to all the games home and away, I was reluctant to go, but she caught me at a weak point when we was in the on the slide down to Division 3. I'm in Brisbane and I run the supporters club here and we go to watch all the games at Brisbane City Centre in a pub called the Pig and Whistle. For the big games, we get about 100 of us going there. I think for the QPR game, the last game of the season, there was 200 of us.
I was born and grew up in Manchester and then I moved to South Africa when I was 10 years old.
We started a supporters club out here called the Gauteng Blues. Gauteng's the province which Johannesburg's in, so we've given it a kind of a very South African kind of feel. It's actually in a pub. We've actually got one section of the pub which the owner kind of keeps for us whenever there's games on, and it can be anything from 40, 50, 60 people at some times. We actually fill up the whole section, and the atmosphere is great. You know, a bit of banter and get a nice atmosphere there, because I think that's what kind of reminds us of being back at the Etihad or Main Road, all the singing and cheering and chanting and the camaraderie. That's what it's really based on.
As you can tell by my cultured accent, that I'm originally from Manchester. And I was lucky enough to be around when City won the championship in 67-68. And then I ended up in the States about 25 years ago. I ended up on the west coast of the US. But having said that, I've kept up my season ticket since 1974, so I still have the season tickets. I got myself into a really strange situation because I wasn't actually at home on that Sunday. What had happened was that Fox Soccer Channel had found all the rabid fans of the six top clubs and invited them down to Los Angeles. And then basically threw 24 people in the same place, which was bad for me because I'd established a Manchester City supporters club in San Francisco and they were all ready to go the next morning at 6:30 a.m. to watch the game on the Sunday. So here I was, a season ticket holder, not only not at the game where I had a ticket for, but also not with the supporters club in San Francisco.
I can remember thinking the night before, I hope I'm going to get some sleep because I want to be on like top form, and traditional cup of coffee in the morning in the lucky mug, deciding which kit to wear is the other one, you know, silly superstition of not wearing a bad luck jersey. If you've lost in that jersey, I won't wear it again for the game. So just trying to figure out which one we were going to wear. And it was the company shirt, obviously, with him scoring the winner against United.
Corner kick is taken, headed in! Headed in by Vincent Kompany, the captain of Manchester City, right on half-time. Kompany was there. Manchester United had almost got the half-time intact, but they conceded corners right at the end of the first half. And Kompany climbs high to give City a 1-0 lead.
Got that out, got that ready, and then, yeah, went down to the pub for the kickoff.
Eventually, we all make our way into the city, into the Pig and Whistle. I think we got there about 9 p.m, kickoff midnight. I mean, I've been a City fan for like since I started going in 1965, and I'm so used to any time we get built up and something good happens, that the next week we fall over and flatten our face and we don't carry it through. But and that was my worry in the back of my mind for the QPR game. I thought, this is just too good to be true. All we've got to do is go out there and win again. We've done it already 16 times this season. And QPR have got the worst away record in the league. But, and as I say, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, City, this is a big banana skin for us and we could well fall flat on our faces. But I didn't admit that to anyone that I had them thoughts. I kept them to myself and tried not to think about them and just tried to be positive and think this is going to go right for us.
I was convinced that they would not mess this one up.
Welcome to Sports World. From me, Russell Fuller, the police helicopter is circling overhead the Etihad Stadium on the day when Manchester City can't afford a dose of City-itis, which, according to former manager Joe Royle, has dogged the club over the last 30 years. I can tell you that after 7 minutes, it's goalless between Manchester City and Queen's Park Rangers. Remember, if they win, they are champions. They're unchanged from the side that won 2-0 at Newcastle last week. It means that Carlos Tevez starts up front with Sergio Aguero and Yaya Toure in the team again, not surprisingly, on his birthday. But if City slip up, Manchester United, who start the day level on points with their rivals, could be champions for the 20th time.
It was a beautiful, sunny, incredible California day down in Studio City near Los Angeles.
The battle for the Champions League places is exciting as well. It started like this. Arsenal in third with 67, Spurs in fourth with 66, Newcastle in fifth and with inferior goal difference on the two above them with 65. Third guarantees Champions League football. Fourth will get the team into the qualifiers.
And we all met about 6 a.m. But people were nervous. Even the Tottenham fans were nervous about their third and fourth position with Arsenal. And of course, the Liverpool fans were really nervous. They did not want United to win this. So I'll just throw into this that the only people who were not really friendly in those 24 fans were the Manchester United fans. And it was really quite a strange situation to be in.
We had to win, regardless of what they did. We just had to win.
City started off pretty brightly. We're trying to watch the game. And then, of course, we're watching the United game.
I was actually hoping that Sunderland were actually going to score first and make it a real good game.
And there's a goal at Sunderland. John Murray. Manchester United have taken the lead with 20 minutes played. Ball in from the right-hand side from Jones. Turner got his head to it, but it only carried it to the back post to Rooney, who was able to stoop and nod it into the empty net. It swung Manchester United's way. It's Sunderland 0, Manchester United 1.
You do feel an increase in tension around the Etihad Stadium. Here, Manchester City 0, Queen's Park Rangers 0, and already 20 minutes gone in the game. United have taken the lead at Sunderland. At the moment, the title's heading back to Old Trafford.
It has to be one of the softest goals that Sunderland have ever conceded. I just couldn't believe it. How they just basically lay on their back and let Rooney score that goal.
With the Rooney goal going in, yeah, the nerves were starting to fray a little bit.
But whatever, we expected United to win. We didn't really care. We had it in our own destiny. But City looked very bright.
I actually thought it was going to be one of those games where we kind of dominated the possession. I mean, a lot of teams started to do it towards the back end of the season where they were playing like two banks of four, you know, like four defenders, four midfielders really close to each other and saying almost like, well, you try break us down if you want to get the goal. You know what I mean? We're not going to give you any space or any time.
my vote for one of the best players of the season was Micah Richards. And of course, Mancini didn't trust him on this final day. I think he'd been injured and Zabaleta had got the nod on the final day, which is okay because Zabaleta is a great player. And of course, he got up the field and it was what had happened just prior to that was that Yaya Toure got that hamstring injury and he looked like he was about to come off. And so, you know, you could see the dark clouds appearing on the horizon when that was happening. But he stayed on. They didn't pull him off. And then Zabaleta, I think he started off the move. It went to Yaya Toure, through David Silva, back to Zabaleta. And he basically shot past Paddy Kenny in the goal there.
Well, back at the Etihad, Zabaleta has scored the breakthrough for Manchester City. The shot was partially saved by Kenny. And Kenny, in the end, couldn't keep it out.
Zabba's like, for me, he's a legend. I mean, he's a guy who gives 100% commitment, you know, gives his all. And he's like a proper mank, in my view. You know, he loves the city, he loves the club. And for him to score, I remember just being like ecstatic for him as well. You know what I mean? That it was someone who had a real affinity to the club. You know, a lot of the times there's all these comments about, you know, you're buying the league and you're buying all these superstars and they don't really care about the club. It's just the wages. And for Zabba to maybe have got the goal at that stage, which could have won the league, you know, it was like a real, you know, very like kind of like, I want to say very proud of him, but it was like a proud moment, you know what I mean? Displaying the same emotions and feelings that you feel when they score or when they win or when they lose, that kind of just draws you to the player. And with him scoring, it was brilliant. And trust him to be someone who doesn't get that many goals force it to do it, so which was great.
And Zabaleta races to the far side of the field to get them congratulations. And the atmosphere does change because City lead 1-0.
And Zabaleta scored. The pure relief of everyone in that pub, that was just, you know, the celebrations was incredible. I'm never been in anything like it, and that was just the 1-0, you know, the first goal, and just everyone obviously feeling the same, just so uptight and so tense, and then the release when Zabaleta scored.
The emotions just go ballistic, screaming and shouting and chanting. I think we were all singing the Zabba song, because whenever, you know, there's a goal, we sing the song which from whichever player, you know, scores. So screaming, shouting, cheering, even watching it back on, you know, the DVDs or watching highlights, as soon as the play comes up to where he's about to score, the kind of emotions just take over. And you don't kind of realise until the ball's in the back of the net that, oh, that's where Zabba scored.
And then, of course, Bolton weren't really helping the situation because they went 1-0 around that time.
Yaya Toure is getting a standing ovation, but let's go to Darren Fletcher at Stoke. Bolton Wanderers lead, Mike. They scored two bizarre goals in the space of 5 minutes. Bolton have come from a goal down. They lead 2-1. And with your scoreline at the Etihad, Bolton right now are staying in the Premier League.
Oh, I do love the last day of the season. I mean, the things can change in a second.
So, you know, City had things to do, but QPR, with Bolton winning at that time, had to start thinking about making sure they did something in this game.
It's 1-0 to Manchester City and it's almost half-time. And we'll be taking you, or in fact, it is half-time now. So, what a first half it's been here in terms of tension and atmosphere with the news of that Manchester United goal from Rooney. And, of course, the QPR fans celebrating the fact that Stoke were leading, but everything changed. The goal from Zabaleta means the half-time score here at the Etihad, with City halfway there, Manchester City 1, Queen's Park Rangers 0.
This is Down to the Wire, here on the BBC World Service, the story of the last day of the 2011-2012 English Premier League season, as told by Sports World and three of our listeners, all Manchester City fans. David from San Francisco in the United States, Rob in South Africa, and Eric in Australia, all of whom saw their team's season go down to the wire.
I always say, I mean, the best time to get a goal is just before halftime and just after halftime, because if, you know, if we'd have gone like 2-0 up, I think that would have buried it. But yeah, that wasn't the case.
City came out right away and Aguero, I think, nearly scored from like in the first minute in the second half. And then, of course, the ball comes to Sean Wright Phillips, who hadn't been trying particularly hard, you know, or him or Needham Anua hadn't, you know, they were playing well, but they weren't giving it 110%, like players like Mackie or Barton were doing. So, you know, he made this speculative long ball, and Lescott, I like Lescott, but he always makes one mistake per game, and this was the mistake that cost us. He just got under it, and, you know, Cisse is a great player, and so's, you know, Bobby Zamora always hurts us. So I thought it was going to be Zamora who was going to hurt us, but it was Cisse, and he got clear and a great goal.
Oh, there's a mistake by Lescott. Here's Cisse through, and it's 1-1. What an error by Julian Lescott. And Queen's Park Rangers fans are delirious. And so too, I suspect, are Manchester United fans up at Sunderland. What an error. What a finish from Cisse. 6th goal for him. And it's 1-1 here at the Etihad.
You know, even at that stage, I wasn't too bothered because, you know, City were pounding QPR. The problem with City in that game was that they had no width. They hadn't even put Adam Johnson on the bench. And so it was going to be pretty hard to break them down again. But they looked like they were about to you know, really make some inroads into them. And then City turned up the pressure after that. It was almost an own goal. I think it was Clint Hill. I don't know why I remember all this, but because it was really in some sort of cloud in that goldfish bowl. And then Zabaleta went close and Aguero went close again. But then QPR were a little bit livelier. And then in the background, the Arsenal fans are going mad because they were 3-2 up or whatever. And then around the 50th minute or 60th minute, Joey Barton's moment of madness. And I remember thinking, thank you, Joey.
Here's Nasri. Now, Tevez has gone down, clutching his face. Oh, goodness, the assistant has seen it. So whatever's about to happen is going to be, I think it's going to be a red card here.
And the phrase in my mind was, you are just a lovely nutter. I just loved it. I just thought, thank you. You just handed it to us, Joey. Just like you would have done if you'd have been playing for us, you would have handed it to somebody else. So when he went off, I thought the initial pullback from Tevez, merited Joey getting annoyed, but he just went into meltdown after that.
Red card! Joey Barton sent off!
But even at half time, you know, it's still in the back of your mind, it's only 1-0, what are we going to do here? And I'd had a banner made the week before that I hadn't shown it to anyone because I didn't want to bring bad luck, and it said on it, Manchester City Premier League Champions 2012, and noisy neighbours, and I'd had this made, and I left it in the car for the first half because I didn't want anyone to see it. And at half time, I thought, I'll get it now, and I went to my car, got the banner, kept it in its box, and just put it under the table.
Jamie Mackie had been really trying his hardest in that game. It was just a massive lack of concentration, really. I think Kompany was struggling to get to the to stop the ball coming across, and it's perfect cross and a great goal.
Right, here's Tarap running down the left hand side. Can he get the cross in? There it goes, deep. Here's a chance, and it's a header, and it's a goal. A goal by Mackie to put Queen's Park Rangers 2-1 in front.
And then when QPR went 2-1 up, I was cursing that banner. I was blaming myself for getting the banner out of the car, saying if I hadn't done that, I'd jinxed the thing, you know, and I just couldn't see any way back for us. The banner stayed in its box.
My heart sank to the bottom of my stomach and almost kind of had like, I don't know, I can't even describe those feelings. It must have been the worst feeling I think I've ever felt in my life.
Remarkable scenes at the Etihad, and I suspect remarkable scenes at the Stadium of Light too. The title is heading to Old Trafford. John Murray. Well, Manchester United supporters here cannot believe their ears. United are leading, but only by 1-0. But now you could say Manchester United are favourites.
I think QPR maybe had three attacks in that game, and they were almost precision attacks, what they'd had, whereas City had had probably, I can't remember, like 40 shots on goal, if I'm probably exaggerating, but that's what it felt like. And nothing was precision because QPR were just basically two banks of four and retreated into their box really after the second goal. So it was just, and then City were throwing players in there and they were just getting in each other's way.
Well, you know what? Hey, actually, just talking about that second goal going in, I'm actually feeling a bit depressed as we speak. Yeah, I could just remember that there was almost a kind of a sense of dread and, oh, no, not again. Have we, like, really messed this up? I remember turning – there was a mate of mine standing next to me when the second goal went in, and he looked at me and he said, how long are we going to have to wait to see us win this league? Is it ever going to happen? I kind of remember looking at him going, just keep quiet. I don't want to hear this. There was just like a very like heavy, depressed and a somber tone when that second goal went in.
Queen's Park Rangers incredibly here with their terrible away record. League Manchester City unbeaten at home for what, 17 months? Haven't lost here in the Premier League since they lost to Everton in 2010.
QPR hadn't ever come from behind that whole season and won. I think they'd only got maybe one draw. So, but, you know, I'd seen them actually at their ground and they were pretty lively and they could score. You could tell they could score goals if they wanted to. And you know, players like Cissé and Zamora on a breakaway, whatever, I thought they might be able to get a goal. When they got the second goal, I really was starting to get worried then. But we still had 25 minutes to go.
Hence sunk in, it felt like it wasn't real, you know what I mean, to go all the way through the season and then with like 20 minutes to go we're losing and possibly losing the league. It didn't sink in. It was like it was not reality for me. I remember the Derby game being on edge the whole day and you're not being able to think or do anything other than kind of counting the minutes till the Derby and getting through that and getting through the Newcastle game and then, you know, with 20 minutes to go, kind of being so close yet a million miles away from actually winning the league was... I can't even remember looking at, other than my mate standing next to me, and there was another one, you know, on kind of either side of me, not being able to, like, focus on anybody else or anything else other than that screen.
City was starting to flag a little bit. They just brought Zeko on, and I thought, this is... You know, I was never a big Zeko fan.
Manchester City storm forward. Aguero's going to try and pull his way with a goal! And Rangers have scrambled it away for a corner kick. That was a good chance for Zeko.
I think he almost scored one goal. And then he just was trying too hard. And I think he almost hit the corner flag with another shot. So I thought, it's time to go and, like, walk about. So I went to the bathroom and came back. And just as I came back from the bathroom, I got the call from my wife, who is an American, and she was watching the game in San Francisco. And her words were, "What the hell is going on? You know, why are you making me watch this?" She couldn't believe it. And she had the 6-year-old and 4-year-old kids in bed with her, and her watching the game. So I'm just like kind of agreeing with her. So I'm starting to not believe a little bit.
Back to Stoke, Darren Fletcher.
Well, there's a penalty for Stoke City, Mike, and if they score it, it would be a big nail in the Bolton Wanderers Premier League coffin. Bogdan fouled Crouch. Here comes Walters from the penalty spot, and he scores! Stoke City 2, Bolton Wanderers 2, and Bolton Wanderers heading out of the Barclays Premier League.
I was starting to get really worried, and then, Stoke equalised against Bolton, which actually was quite fortuitous, I think, for us, because then, you know, once at the end of the game when QPR started to realise, I think that was a good thing to happen.
I think I remember saying to my wife about 80, 85 minutes gone or something, and the United fans was in a separate room to us, and they was obviously jumping about and cheering, and I said to my wife, as soon as this final whistle goes, I'm out the front door and I don't know what I'm going to do. I've never felt as bad in my life. I just felt physically sick, as if I could throw up at any moment. And I just can't go back to that feeling. It was a horrible feeling. All that's going through my mind is, how can I face the people that know I'm a City fan and that are United fans? What they're going to say tomorrow? This is incredible.
I turned and I was talking to my mate and I was saying, you know, I think I actually said to him, I think we're going to scab one at the end here and we're going to draw, and then the other game's going to be, you know, United still winning and we're going to lose it by a couple of points. And as we were talking, hey, we saw the ball come, you know, from come across.
44 years, corner kick to Manchester City. Dzeko's header, goal for Manchester City, and there's still time. Dzeko was there unopposed this time. Paddy Kenny has been beaten. We have 3.5 minutes of added time to go, and here it is 2-2.
Remember Dzeko jumping and then seeing the ball in the back of the net, and I turned to him and go, "Is that a goal?" And he was like, "It's a goal." And he just started jumping. And only when they showed the replay of it did it actually sink in that Dzeko had scored.
Just prior to that, I think Balotelli had almost got a header into the goal. And when Dzeko scored, the only thing in my mind was typical City, really. I thought, even if to me, to lose by one goal was terrible, you know, for the course of the season. And if that was the way it was gonna go, I just wasn't looking forward to it. You know, I was really, really negative at that stage. I really thought we had no hope whatsoever. But he went in and, you know, still 3 minutes to go, but I had no thoughts that City could pull it off, simply because QPR was just stood in their own box.
Well, it's going to go right down to the wire. 3 minutes left.
And Manchester City still believe. And Mancini and Brian Kidd pointing them forward.